Hello and welcome to Legalize Vaping by Legalize Vaping Australia. I'm here with Brian Marlowe, who heads the entire enterprise. Brian, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Even with the TGA's new proposed regulations?
Oh, I can be pissed off and good.
Yeah, all right. Well, tell us about the pissed off half of you first.
Well, as we mentioned in our live stream, the TGA has released an interim decision into how they want to schedule nicotine vaping. Mm. And as we said last podcast, it ain't good.
Mm. Last podcast was a prediction of what would happen. Now we actually know.
Now we know. What they're proposing is that nicotine vaping products should be legalized as a prescription product only and only available in pharmacies.
Mm.
Now, whilst that may sound reasonable to someone who's never smoked and someone who's never tried vaping, we all know, and you all know, that that's just not going to work. So we are working as hard as we can to push against this, trying to educate MPs about why this proposal won't work, why it will cost the government money and cost you money, and why it will drive about 50% of vapers back to smoking. In terms of how it will work, if this model gets through, how does it affect you? You will have to go to a doctor.
Yes.
You will have to get a prescription for nicotine vaping.
Yeah.
Most doctors, because they're led by the AMA, who's wrong about vaping, do not want to give prescriptions. There was an article in the Sydney Morning Herald the other day saying doctors don't want to prescribe these products. Yeah. But if you're one of the lucky ones that has a doctor who's willing to prescribe these products, you will have to do a full consult. You'll have to go through why other options of quitting won't work for you, why patches won't work, gum, dancing in the shower won't work, and then you'll get a prescription to vape. You will then have to go to a pharmacy and buy these products that are stocked on the shelves at the pharmacy. However, because it's a prescription product, those products will have to go through the TGA's approval process, which costs tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars per product. Now, what does that mean for you? Your average vape shop, let's say you go to Vapor Power. They've probably got 50 different flavors, maybe 100. And they don't stock nicotine. That's just non-nicotine.
Yeah.
If I wanted to stock five different flavors with five different nicotine concentration levels, that would mean I would have to make 25 applications to the TGA, because I'd have to make an application on flavor one with nicotine concentration one, flavor two with nicotine concentration two, all the way through. And if you're paying tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, you're talking about millions of dollars at the other end just to get products approved that don't kill two and three long-term users.
Right. Well, it would be $1.2 million for someone who just has five variations, like five flavors and a few variations on their nicotine concentration. That doesn't seem feasible for your local vape shop or vape supplier, but it does seem really viable for another industry.
Yeah, well, so this is one of the things I've been saying to anti-vapers who refuse to engage on this issue in good faith, which is you keep saying that you are trying to prevent wins by big tobacco, because let's be real, big tobacco is trying to create some vapes.
Yep.
Their vapes broadly are pretty shit, but they're trying to make some.
Yep.
Well, if you push a prescription only model and the TGA has to sign off on these products, and each product that gets legalized is going to cost tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars just to go through that TGA process, there's only a few players in town that can afford to push their products through that process. Tobacco companies and pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
Your average vape shop is not going to be able to afford that. So those flavors that you like, the different myriad of flavors, all those things that helped you quit smoking because maybe, I don't know, you liked a popcorn flavor, or you liked icy orange pineapple, or you liked grape, or you just liked a tobacco flavor, but you like a specific tobacco flavor flavor by one specific manufacturer because the other manufacturer's tobacco flavor
isn't quite that great. Yeah, you don't like it.
That great for you. All of those will be gone, and you won't be able to access those products. You'll have to go to a pharmacy and have a select few range.
Yeah, you'll get like a Pfizer Pepto-Bismol flavored one, and one that tastes like baby powder.
A British American tobacco mayonnaise flavor. Like, I just, you know, like we joke, but it's really serious.
Yeah, of course.
And we did say after we delayed the July 1st ban that was pushed forward by Hunt that he would not let up and that he would find other ways to try and completely destroy this issue. This is it. So if you thought that what we did in 6 days was, you know, a once-off thing, you're mistaken. We have thankfully, as a silver lining, a lot more time to prepare and get things ready. We're working on that at the moment.
Yeah.
Actually, just today, we've got the beta version of our Call Your MP portal.
Yes.
Which will allow you to literally, with the click of a button after putting your postcode in, call your MP, the number will load on your phone, you're straight through to your MP, and you can tell them why you're not fucking happy. We are going to be helping you campaign all the way through this to defeat this, because this is wrong and it needs to be stopped now.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. And the TGA has an anti-vaping history. So if you what they're trying to say is, well, we're an impartial jury. You know, you send us the products, and if they're safe, we'll push them through. We're just trying to protect the consumer.
Hmm.
It's not that simple. They're not impartial. They clearly have a position.
Yeah, the idea that there's this pernicious lie that goes along the lines that government bureaucracies are fair and impartial and totally balanced on every issue, and they just simply are not.
Mm.
Look at the health department on vaping. Look at the TGA on vaping. Mm. They say, "Oh, just go through our processes and we'll approve these products. We just need to review the evidence." Well, one of the biggest players in the world. One of the biggest industries in the world, Philip Morris, made an application for their IQOS thing. I don't really like it. I think it's a pretty crap product.
Their IQOS thing is the heat not burn?
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't understand why anyone would buy it when you can go and buy a vape that doesn't taste like a bushfire. But whatever.
Yeah.
It's less harmful than smoking, so logic stands. It should be legal, just as every other vaping product should be legal.
Yes.
Well, they made an application. They paid the relevant fees. They gave stacks of evidence, during which time the FDA over in America approved their products and said, "Oh, we've reviewed the evidence, and based on the evidence, these products should be legal."
Yeah.
Yet here in Australia, the TGA knocked it back.
Right.
So if Philip Morris, one of the biggest international
multi-billion-dollar
multinational company, can't push through their, you know, warm ciggy.
Yeah.
What hope does a vaping manufacturer have of pushing through their products, which are far and away better? And we know that nicotine vaping liquids are the least harmful alternative compared to all the other vaping alternatives. What hope do they have?
They don't.
Zero. So do not accept the premise that we should ever go through the TGA process, because these aren't therapeutic products, they're consumer products.
Now, there is something that we can do with the TGA, because they will be accepting submissions, correct?
Yes.
And we can swamp them with submissions.
Yes.
Yes. So how are we going to do that?
So we've put together a website we'll be announcing in the coming days. We're just doing some fine tuning on it just to fix a couple of things and make sure it functions perfectly. Like everything we've done with LBA, our job is to make advocacy as easy for you, because most people aren't politically engaged. Yeah. Contacting a random bureaucracy to make a submission on scheduling seems like a daunting task.
Yes.
Even contacting MPs, finding their numbers, all that kind of stuff, it's a process. So one of the things I always set up from the beginning was whatever we do needs to be set up in a way that is as easy as possible, so that someone who doesn't have a lot of time, who just wants to have their voice heard in Parliament, can click a few buttons and be straight through.
Yeah.
So that's a really long-winded way of me saying that we're building a portal that will allow you to make submissions to the TGA, giving them your thoughts on how this shift to prescription only will not work.
Not only that, so it would be very bad for the vapers, many of which would just go back to smoking, many of which will have to undergo terrible hurdles, humiliating procedures to get their nicotine, but it also just affects the general population.
Yes.
Particularly a sick and vulnerable population.
Yes.
So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so a good example would be, you know, I've had friends that have gone and seen Dr. Colin Mendelsohn, to try and quit smoking. Now, despite what people may claim, Dr. Mendelsohn is not the vaping doctor. He is a tobacco treatment specialist.
Yeah.
So he'll tell you quite readily that vaping doesn't work for every single client of his.
Right.
Some people, patches will work for them. Some people, just going through, you know, some basic exercises will help them quit. But of a lot of people, vaping helps them too. To get to that point, though, on average, takes a one-hour consult. So that's an hour out of his day as a practitioner that he's seeing someone to prescribe them something that should be a consumer product.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, elderly individuals, people with medical complications, people who need to see a GP over something that's a real medical issue, can't do that.
Right.
So for every vapor, that is having to go through this bullshit process to see a GP to access a product that they should be able to access in every corner store where cigarettes are sold.
Yeah.
Well, that's time that that GP can't use to consult someone who's, you know, frail or going through huge medical complications. Not to mention the financial costs.
And not to mention the fact that this vapor will, from his home to the GP's office, pass 5 or 6 locations where he can buy cigarettes, which would kill him. On the way back, another 5 places where he can get cigarettes, and then
go get to a pharmacy and hope that pharmacy's open.
Correct. And then get his, you know, foot cream flavored nicotine vape. It's like not a great model. And I, you know, honestly, anti-vapers are very pernicious. They do try to twist the facts. The other day, someone attacked us on Twitter saying, this is what anti-vapers don't want you to know. Here's some statistics on youth vaping.
Oh, what vapors want.
Yeah, what vapor. And they're like, here's, you know, Athra and legalized vaping don't want you to know this. And so we just simply reply, oh, they've actually been talking about this several times. Here's all their data.
Yeah, they don't care about the data. It's not about
the data.
They just
hate vaping.
Because on the data, they lose every single time.
Think of the children.
Think of the children. And that argument has been used on all kinds of different products in the past. It is a lazy argument that doesn't work. It doesn't stack up against evidence. But unfortunately, it's one of the things we have to combat.
It's bad news there. But there is some good news here in our state of New South Wales. Vapethestate.com.au. What's that all about?
So one of the things that we're working on at every state and territory level is, you know, trying to get state and territory governments to also push for a legal framework on vaping. And the reason for that is because, you know, whilst there are a lot of supporters at the federal government level, there is still a health minister who is vehemently opposed to vaping, who seems to be doing everything in his power that he can to undermine this issue and delay.
Yes.
Well, states have the right to determine how they regulate these products. And we've been pushing at different state levels. Now, Michael Johnson, who's the Nationals MP for the Upper Hunter region, he's actually a vapor. So he took up smoking. You'll see it in the video that we're going to release in the coming days. He took up smoking when he was 9 years old.
Yikes.
And the only thing that helped him quit was vaping. So he gets it, and he understands what a process it is to get these products that keep him away from cigarettes. So he started a petition to legalize vaping. He wants to introduce a private members bill in the New South Wales Parliament, trying to encourage others to support it so that New South Wales can go it alone and legalize vaping, and you can access these products in the state of New South Wales. The petition link is vapethestate.com.au. He's already at thousands upon thousands of petition signatures. We want to try and get some more. But more importantly, it's not just him. There are other MPs at the New South Wales State Parliament that support this. Up in Queensland, we've seen KAP become supportive. It's happening at every state and territory level, and it's not just us that's pushing this. There's groups like AFRA that are trying to do the same thing as well. And the aim is to, you know, essentially, if the federal government isn't willing to take action, and if they're too piss weak to overthrow the health minister on this issue and tell him to get in his corner and shut up, well, maybe the states will take action.
I don't think it's necessarily a stretch to say that the reason that we're seeing the mobilization from so many politicians that didn't take a position before and are taking a position now is because of the huge mobilization that you all took.
Absolutely.
They saw, oh my God, these people are so motivated, they're so willing to act politically on this issue, that we would be fools to completely just leave that space open for my competitor to fill it. Yep. So if I'm in an electorate that isn't super safe, I'm not going to be the guy who doesn't take a position on vaping or takes a position against vaping and gives all of those vapors votes to my opponent.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a stretch for me to say that that's been a huge role in getting this change in opinions.
So the action that the community took really indicated to policymakers that this is a real issue and that it's a potential vote mover. Now, we need to show that to them, and we need to show people, and I've been saying this for a long time, I've been saying this for close to 3 years now, you need to be showing MPs that you vape and you vote and you're willing to move on this issue if needs be. They're finally starting to take notice, which is why you're seeing more people come out of the woodwork supporting this, more people trying to attract, you know, the vapors vote, which is a good thing. Leverage that. They represent you, and the only way they get elected is with your vote. And there's 500,000 of you. That's enough to sway a hell of a lot of elections.
Correct. Yeah, it's good to let them know, because in theory, we know, because of the survey that we did and everything, a lot of you are willing to change your party affiliation and your vote based on who supports your right to vape. But you didn't let them know that you're willing to.
You need to let politicians know this. So we know it. You've told us that you're willing to vote for whichever parties are going to support your right to vape.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be, and we'll be giving you contact numbers shortly of MPs to call. You need to be telling them, essentially, you know, I'm a vapor. Mm-hmm. I vote in your electorate. I know that the federal election is going to be next year.
Yeah.
And you need to represent me. Because if you don't, I'm going to vote for someone who will. And you're going to lose my vote, and you might lose the election.
Yeah. That would be a shame. You know, the party in power now, you know?
The party in power now broadly supports vaping. Yeah. They just, for some reason, too piss weak to take any strong action on this. So the only way that you're going to motivate them is tell them that you're going to vote them out if they don't do it.
And I think on that optimistic note, we are going to say goodbye. Brian, thank you for joining us. And to everyone who's listening, thank you for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe on Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, Facebook, really wherever you like to listen to podcasts. This has been Legalized Vaping. We'll see you next time.
Get angry and make sure you let politicians know you're angry.
Mm.